Coming up on Tech News Today, T-Mobile wants your old iPhone, Apple and Yahoo getting all cuddly, and more TV channels threaten to take their ball and go home, or at least cable. All that and more coming up.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Tech News Today is provided by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com.
This is Tech News Today for Wednesday, April 10th, 2013. Tech News Today is brought to you by Security Now. Stay safe, stay secure, and get educated with Steve Gibson and Leo Laporte. Live Wednesdays at 11 a.m. Pacific at live.twit.tv and always on demand at twit.tv/SN. Welcome to Tech News Today. I'm Tom Merritt.
I'm Sarah Lane.
I'm Aya Zaktar.
And I'm Jason Howell.
And this is the show we keep you up to date with the most important stories in the tech world, starting each time with the top 10 stories of the day in the news feeds. T-Mobile extended its trade-in program to iPhones, starting with the launch of iPhone 5 on the network this Friday. You'll be able to trade in your iPhone 4, your 4S, or 5 for a credit. The credit will eliminate the $99 down for the iPhone 5 and lower the $20 a month amount you pay by either $1 or up to $7 a month, depending on which model you trade in.
Hide your apps, hide your wives, because Apple's out there banning everybody. The latest is app discovery app AppGratis, removed from the App Store for violating two clauses, 2.25 and 5.6, of its App Store review guidelines. These forbid apps that promote other apps other than the developer's own app, and also prohibit developers from using push notifications to deliver marketing messages. However, AppGratis is not the only app to do this. All Things D reports, this is just the beginning. Meanwhile, Brian K. Vaughan Comic Saga number 12 will not be for sale through Comixology or any other third-party app on iOS because of what Vaughan says is imagery, which is less graphic than what's been allowed in the past.
The lack of demand for iPhones hurt iPhone manufacturer Hon Hai. The company's sales were down 19% for the first quarter compared to last year at the same time. An analyst for KGI Securities said they expected a quarterly decline for Hon Hai, but not a yearly one, and that this shows that Hon Hai's revenue depends too much on Apple. 60 to 70% of Hon Hai's revenue comes from putting together iPads and iPhones.
Several Tech News Today audience members sent us an email they got from Vudu yesterday announcing a password reset. Apparently, several hard drives were stolen from the company on March 24th. The drives only contained the last four digits of credit card numbers, but did contain full names, email addresses, and encrypted passwords, hence the password reset. Vudu also encouraged users to change any passwords at other services that were identical to the one they previously used at Vudu.
Are Apple and Yahoo partnering up to get more of Yahoo's data, like sports and news, integrated with Siri on the iPhone and iPad? Yeah, that's what the Wall Street Journal's reporting, citing sources that say the companies are at least in talks. iOS already makes use of Yahoo Finance, all the built-in stocks app, and taps Yahoo Sports for Siri. But CEO Marissa Mayer is reportedly working to get her company's web services loaded onto a lot more devices. She's all about mobile these days. Timing's good. Apple's moved away from Google, and Yahoo going up Google by itself without Apple could be a tough fight. Apple's already baked Twitter into iOS 5 and added built-in Facebook functionality into iOS 6. Is Yahoo next?
9 to 5 Mac received a tip by someone who was digging into OS 10.8.4 and found 802.11ac support. There's no such code in the previous version of OS 10, and current Apple products don't ship with 802.11ac. This would be in line with older reports that say that Apple will bring the next generation of Wi-Fi to its devices. The Wi-Fi standard has yet to be ratified with the IEEE.
Piper Jaffray's biannual 10-13 survey, rather, came out Tuesday afternoon, and you can pretty much make the data say whatever you want. For example, Apple gained popularity among teens for smartphones, but so did Android and so did Windows Phone. Beats by Dre are by far the most popular headphones among teens. Favorite website is Amazon. Facebook, Tumblr, and YouTube's popularity like totally declined. While is it me or did Twitter and Google Plus get hotter? And where did Reddit and Tumblr transfer in from? Facebook's still going to win prom. YOLO.
So fetch.
You got better as you went along. We talked about HP's plans for next-gen server farms earlier this week, and now Intel's shared plans for more efficient architecture that separates CPU, storage, power, and networking resources into individual components that can be swapped out as needed. Power and cooling would be shared across CPUs. Storage resources would all be shared across the rack. Intel's also building an interconnect that's capable of 100 gigabits per second. The first version of this reference architecture for servers is expected to be published sometime in 2014.
One take on Google Fiber is that it's meant to spur competition in broadband development. In Austin, it seems to already be working. Hours after Google announced it would bring 1 gigabit per second fiber connectivity to the capital of Texas, AT&T announced that they, too, looked forward to getting the same deal with the government that Google got and will bring competitively priced gigabit fiber to Austin as well. Austin City Councilwoman Laura Morrison told GigaOM Google has the same deal AT&T already had. Whatever. Migas, St. Arnold beer, gigabit competition. Yeehaw, moving back to Austin.
According to Reuters, Apple's got TSMC working on a trial version of Apple's next-generation processor for mobile devices. Reuters source says that TSMC has got all the authorization and details ready. Whether Apple puts a formal order in depends on the yield rate. A transition to TSMC would mean Apple would have to redesign the chipset due to patent issues with Samsung, since Samsung helped develop the processors that Apple currently uses.
This episode of Tech News Today is happy to welcome Mr. Ken Denmead to the show, Grand Negus of GeekDad.com, and newly independent Geek Dad, too. Congratulations on the move.
Thanks a bunch. Always great to be here with the TNT family.
All right. It's good to have you back as well. Want to start off talking about that iPhone 5 trade-in deal that T-Mobile is providing. Here's the details. iPhone 5. If you trade in your iPhone 5, you may ask, why would I trade in an iPhone 5 for an iPhone 5? If you have an iPhone 5 on Verizon or Sprint and you want to trade to T-Mobile, the iPhone 5 will get you a $168 bill credit, along with dropping the $99 fee. So instead of paying $20 a month to pay off the iPhone 5, you'd pay $13 a month. Now, the iPhone 4S comes with a $120 credit. That lowers the monthly to $15 a month. Still don't have to pay anything down. iPhone 4 only gives you a $24 credit, so that only lops a dollar a month. That's kind of the least attractive of these. iPhone, as we mentioned, coming to T-Mobile on Friday. The offer will end on June 16th. That's Father's Day. And then it spurred a little competition. Virgin Mobile yesterday promised $100 to any customer who switched from T-Mobile by the end of May. Ken, you're the geek dad, and this offer goes till Father's Day. Do you see a lot of fathers trading in their iPhones?
I think so. I think this is a genius promotion. T-Mobile right now seems to be making some really good kind of edgy, independent moves to build their brand recognition, build their client list, especially since they've gotten the iPhone. And this is the kind of thing that will make people sit up and notice, combined with if they can get that information out about how, life of product, it's actually going to be a lot cheaper, since once you're done with your subsidy period, you don't have to pay extra to be on their, you don't keep paying the subsidy that you do on AT&T and Verizon. All of these things are great moves, and this would actually make me think about looking at T-Mobile. I mean, you want to check coverage areas. They're not quite as strong as the big two, but wow. I mean, $120 credit on trading in my iPhone 4S, that's very interesting.
It's interesting, but the plans are already complicated enough. Ayaz, do you think people will be swayed by this, or is it too much for people to think about now?
I think what's going to happen is they're going to see this trade-in deal, look at their older phones, and go, you know what, I can actually look into this. And then once they come through the door, hopefully they're not going through. I mean, the T-Mobile website does have good information there, but when they go to the stores, they'll be able to understand the plans aren't really that different. What the real deal is, you are going to pay X amount per month, just like you always did. It's just divvied up differently. I think it'll take time for people to get to understand these new plans, but I think T-Mobile with this promotion is going to get people into the door, and they're going to be able to explain their message even better.
And it would lower your monthly cost for a lot of people. Remember, it's $50 a month for T-Mobile plus whatever you're paying off for the phone. Or if you can pay off the amount right away, then it's just $50 a month. Sarah, you going to be taking your Verizon iPhone over to T-Mobile?
No, because my Verizon coverage is better. And at the end of the day, that's what I really care about most. However, I mean, there is, you know, it's kind of like I'm going through this right now because it's tax time in the U.S., you know, and I'm trying to figure out, like, why do I owe this money? I wish they would have just taken out more each month. I would have, you know, I'd rather pay a little bit more each month, even though it kind of ends up being a wash. It's same kind of thing. I mean, some of these plans are going to seem really attractive to people where the monthly bill is really, that's the number that you focus on going forward. But I think this is a goodwill measure for sure. I think to a lot of people, T-Mobile is trying to get creative with plans that will make more sense to people who maybe don't like the restrictions that they're under right now with their carriers. But for me, it's still, you know, the big networks, that's where my phone works best. So that's what matters to me.
Yeah, I mean, that's understandable. But I would argue that, first of all, people understand the concept of a trade-in. And they can probably look at that drawer filled with old phones that they never got to trade in. They never got any value for after they moved on. So they're going to see this as a value add. And, you know, if T-Mobile works in their area, they're probably not going to care that much that, oh, you know, maybe it doesn't work in Wichita, you know, the outskirts of Wichita, but it works in my area. And that's what I need 99% of the time. So for a larger group of users, this may be very, very attractive. And then, you know, once again, you get done with your contract and you no longer have to pay that extra $15 a month. That's a good deal all the way around for people that are looking for value.
Yeah, and there's people in the chat room, YYZ, for instance, like, what's so complicated? You pay so much per month for the service, you pay so much a month for the phone. And some people won't have a problem wrapping their heads around this. But I've tried to explain this to some people who are like, wait a minute, I don't get it. Like, what's the difference? How do I know if it's cheaper? It's already hard to compare those cellular plans as it is. And so it makes it a little bit harder to compare apples to apples. But in the end, it is simpler once you get to the end than trying to figure out Verizon or AT&T's real costs. It's not simpler on the front where somebody's like, just tell me how much I'm going to pay for a month, because it changes. And so that's T-Mobile's gambling on the fact that people will think enough about it to see that they're going to save the money about it. Meanwhile, Apple and Yahoo are reportedly in talks to build a partnership. They're coming together. And we have a Business Insider, a really interesting Business Insider theory about why they bought Sumify.
That's right. As Sarah mentioned, Wall Street Journal is saying that Yahoo and Apple are working on a partnership. The new arrangement would include deals to get more content from Yahoo News, either preloaded on Apple devices or through Siri. And the Journal says, though, that no deal is imminent, citing people with direct knowledge of the company's relationship. And of course, neither company commented to the Journal about this. And BusinessInsider.com was taking a look at Yahoo's acquisition of Sumly, that news aggregation app. Business Insider says that Sumly didn't have a lot of users, it didn't have any revenues, but what it did have that Yahoo was interested in was a partnership with SRI International. SRI had equity in Sumly, and SRI also held equity in something called Siri a while ago. According to the site, Yahoo calls Sumly Yahoo Siri. Ken, this sounds like a great deal for Yahoo if it becomes a reality. Do you see any downsides for this?
You know, not right now. I think Apple, if they're doing this, is making a bet on competition to Google. That's okay. That's not a dumb thing to do. I get this feeling. I think we all are getting this feeling out of Yahoo right now that the ship is turning. That, you know, it seemed like it wasn't doing well for a while, but it kept rolling along, kept having huge numbers for its news sites and its sports sites. So there are good things about Yahoo there. And, you know, Yahoo is important. If we think back, Yahoo wasn't necessarily just about search. They were about indexing and a little bit of curation. And that's what you really need when it comes to mobile. You don't want to have to dig through deep results to find the good stuff. You want a little bit of guidance. And if Yahoo can provide that, especially if they have this interesting news summarization service that can then be fed through Siri, all of a sudden, maybe Siri is talking all of the news of the morning to you while you're driving or riding the bus or train to work. I think there's a lot of potential here. And potential for Yahoo, potential for Siri and Apple, and it seems smart.
Sarah, what do you think about Apple? I mean, they're flat out distancing themselves further and further away from Google. Do you think this is going to potentially hurt iOS because there's less Google integration? You always have to get these third-party apps that are actually doing quite well.
Well, that doesn't really hurt the user base. So I don't know if anyone, you know, is going to be shifting away from iOS because all of a sudden they've got great third-party apps from Google. It's working for me anyway. I agree with Ken. I think that this is, you know, if it's true that the Yahoo acquisition of Sumly has a lot to do with Yahoo's potential partnership with Siri, the idea that I could say something like, Siri, tell me what the story is with, you know, the troops in Afghanistan or something. You know, right now, Siri will say, I can't find that for you. Would you like me to search the web? And then it turns into something that's, it's not, Siri's not really all that helpful at all. You're basically just searching the internet. If you can figure out how to get news summaries that work well as results in a Siri search, along with, again, Yahoo properties like sports and just its news properties in general, I think that that makes Siri a lot stronger. And let's face it, Siri has a long way to go. Siri does a few things really well and a lot of other things not well at all. And I think that Yahoo and Google are also in competition with each other. And for Yahoo and Apple to have a strong partnership, it helps everybody. Well, except Google.
Tom, do you think this is going to change the user experience for iOS? I mean, for people who use Siri, they don't really even know where the data comes from. It doesn't appear to be branded. Apple does talk about partnerships, but will a user go, oh, I really love Yahoo now because it powers my phone?
Well, I think it makes sense for Yahoo, especially for Marissa Meyer, to say, hey, if Google is abandoning this ground, let's get in there and see if we can work on it. Let's see if we can partner with Apple on some things, because we don't make a phone operating system, so they're not going to get mad at us about that. And they already are in there. They're already doing data for the stocks app, for the weather app. So why not increase that partnership? It's a perfect opportunity to talk. Also, on the other side of this, you have Sumly, which I think the key here is the technology, not just the summarizing, right? I mean, let's not just get hung up on the fact that it can summarize news, but it can interpret things. It can look at data, figure out what that data means, and turn it into something. That is exactly why Siri doesn't work for me right now, is it can't do that. Like you, Sarah, I'm always talking to, if I'm talking to Siri, she's like, I don't know, want me to search the web? And I'm like, well, I can do that with the voice, you know, click the little mic button, search the web myself. I don't need to see, why would I go to Siri for that? So if it can improve the ability for Siri to recognize text and make sense out of it, that could really juice the voice recognition service up. And that's good for Yahoo as well.
Yeah, and if Yahoo does use the summarization technology and it goes into Siri, that makes a lot of sense for a mobile device, considering the UI on Siri is pretty tiny. It doesn't take up the full screen or anything. It's a little pop-over window, and it does fill up some of the screen. But if you're going to have a bit of data, you want to have the most relevant data in a short form. So if it's whether it's your upcoming tasks or if it's the news of the day, if it's short and it's and you can actually read it quickly or it's read to you, I think that's going to make a big difference. And the thing is, Google's doing a lot of great stuff with Android. This could actually give iOS something to hang its hat on and say, hey, look, Siri's here and it's got a lot more power. I'm really curious about if this deal will go through.
Maybe the only way for you to get an app into the store is to partner with Apple these days, because we've got a couple stories today about apps getting kicked out, Sarah.
Yeah, so as I mentioned in the news views, the app Discovery app, it's an app that you launch to, you know, find out what's new, what's on sale, you know, what's free, that sort of thing. App Gratis was pulled from the App Store this week for developer guideline violations. You know, the stuff that says, you know, if you're an app that promotes another app rather than your own, Apple doesn't want that. If you're a developer that's using push notifications to deliver marketing messages, we don't want that. AppGratis does that. But again, it's really not the only one. And Simon Dalot, who's the founder of AppGratis, says he is in total disbelief that this happened, especially since just a few days ago, Apple approved AppGratis' iPad version. Previously, it just had an iPhone version. So it's like, what is going on here? But this is the same old song with Apple, right? I mean, things get denied before being allowed into the App Store, and it can confuse developers, or things are going along swimmingly and developers feel like, well, you know, maybe there's some guidelines that we're kind of skirting, whether it's right or wrong. But John Pikowski over at All Things D says he's been told that Apple, this is just the beginning. A lot of these apps are going to get pulled because Apple thinks these apps threaten the legitimacy of App Store charts because they can provide a way for developers to kind of spend their way to a high ranking. You know, if they get on the top of one of these apps that's promoting them, then what does Apple's store rankings, you know, really mean? So it's kind of a gaming the system fear. Apple also did something like this. It rejected a bunch of apps back in 2011 that were running incentivized app installs. And possibly, you know, John says he doesn't know this for a fact, but possibly this could just be screwing with Apple's integration of Chomp or whatever that integration may be down the road. That's the app search, a company that Apple itself acquired last year. So, you know, it's one of these things where this always gets developers, I think, confused, angry, sure, but even a little bit more confused. Like, well you know, why'd you point the finger at us? What's the deal? But does this seem like the beginning of the end for app discovery apps? Because we've been hearing for a while that Apple's not happy with them.
Yeah, well, my understanding, that's been part of the terms of service or the guidelines for a long, long time. And it's interesting that any of these got through as they were. I think what we also see here, and not having a lot of background on who it is that's actually doing the reviews of the apps, is there a team at Apple that does this? Is this farmed out to subcontracting agencies? What is the quality control that is done on the app approval process itself? Because I think what we're seeing is different people that are in that chain of authority somewhere making slightly different decisions based on how deep they're looking at the apps that they're supposed to be approving. Consistency can be a bugaboo when two different people are not looking deeply enough at what an app is doing. And, you know, maybe somebody's rubber stamping stuff, and then, you know, 2 months down the line, somebody else notices that that's an egregious outrage. It violates all of our terms. We got to pull it. Well, that causes really, you know, bad PR for them. But when it comes down to it, yeah, the obviously all of these app developers, you're going to have those few that are going to push the boundaries as much as they can. I think many of them have discovered every now and then you can get something through and ride that for a while, but sooner or later, you know, you may get found out, and, you know, don't feign surprise or disappointment. You got away with something.
Well, you know, it's kind of sounds similar to what happened with Saga number 12. That's the app made by Brian K. Vaughan, the comic, that's not going to be allowed through Comixology or other third-party apps on iOS. Now, Vaughn says, this is his direct quote, because of two postage stamp-sized images of gay sex, Apple is banning tomorrow's Saga 12 from being sold through any iOS apps. This is a drag, especially because our book has featured what I would consider much more graphic imagery in the past. But there you go. So this is, again, it's sort of like, is this just something that somebody noticed and went, oh, wait, no, we can't have this in here. This is not what Apple's all about. Or is this the beginning of some sort of tide turning to be censoring content that Apple feels, for whatever reason, is inappropriate?
Well, I'm going to question this a little bit, and whether there's a apples and oranges, pardon the pun, difference here. Because what we're looking at with Comixology is it's not an app recommendation service. My understanding is the way that's working. Correct me if I'm wrong. Comixology, you know, is a reader and purchasing app for getting digital versions of comics. And my understanding of the way they work is that instead of being like a feed reader where the new information on what's for sale pops in when you refresh it or open it every day, is they're actually updating the app every month with what's new and for sale. And so it's the
every
new
week,
version.
Actually.
Is it every week? Okay. Well, so first of all, they're going through the app approval process on a weekly basis. And then secondarily, they ran into something in this version that somebody flagged. Now, if you look at the information for Comixology, though, it's very clear that it is a NC-17 rated app. You have to, you know, and it says may contain, you know, sex and graphic nudity and so on and so forth. So that seems a little bit weird. And then you can go off on the arguments that, well, you're going to be able to get the book through the iBook store, too. I think what we're really seeing here is the problems that Apple has set up for itself with how they curate apps versus how they don't curate other content that's available on their other apps. And so, at some point, something's going to have to change.
Yeah, Apple has said, we don't censor the things that are in the bookstore. We censor apps. But Comixology is essentially a bookstore. So maybe Apple should kick it out because it's a competing service. I don't know.
Yeah, does the Amazon Kindle app, what books can you buy for the Amazon Kindle app? Or can you buy books through the Amazon Kindle app?
Yeah, no, you can't because okay. Amazon doesn't want to give a cut to Apple.
Right.
So what you can do with Comixology is you can buy the comic on the web or on your Android app, and it will sync over, and you can get it in the iOS app. It's crazy. We got to move along. Let's talk a little bit about Boxy, as they have taken TV out of their name. Why is that?
Yeah, the Boxy TV device, that's the cloud-based DVR, is now called Boxy Cloud DVR. It's a pretty good name there. The $100 device lets you watch live TV and record to Boxy's servers, assuming you have a fast enough connection and you're in one of the 8 service areas: Atlanta, Chicago, Dallas, Houston, LA, New York City, Philadelphia, and DC. If you want to record to Boxy servers, Boxy also added a free tier. You get 5 hours of DVR playback. Recordings expire in 90 days, and you can only watch your recordings on your television. There is still a pay service that they have, which gives you unlimited playback. Recordings don't expire, and you can watch them on pretty much any device. That's the $10 per month fee that they had previously. Ken, do you think this free tier is going to get people interested in picking up this DVR?
Maybe. I don't know. That 5 hours, that seems awfully limiting, but it is a good, try it first kind of deal. But you have to buy the box first anyway, right?
Yeah, so you got to pay $100 for the box outright.
Yeah, so why have a free tier that's that limiting? I don't think that makes sense. I don't think anyone's going to use that. I think, maybe they'll start, until they get around to putting their credit card in to sign up for the other thing, maybe they'll use that. But 5 hours is nothing on a weekly basis. So that doesn't make sense.
Tom, you're actually in one of the service areas. You're in L.A. Would you be interested in getting something like this, considering now that there is a free tier? To me, it just seems like one of those get you in the door kind of thing. You see it's convenient and you keep going.
It's a marketing issue, right? Because the cool thing about Boxy is that it has all of these video services like a Roku, like something else that you'd get, like an Apple TV, and they have the cloud DVR. So taking TV out of the name sounds like maybe a mistake because of the way Ken's looking at it and going, oh, it's a DVR, but I only get 5 hours free when I buy it. I want more than that. And they should be saying, like, hey, it's Boxy TV, but now we're giving you free DVR access, and if you pay, you get even more DVR access.
Sarah, I don't think 5 hours a week is that
5 hours a month.
Easy.
It's 5 hours a month.
Oh, 5 hours a month.
Now what do you think?
Unfortunately, I was like, 5 hours a week. You guys are watching a little too much TV. It's a getting you in the door type of a thing. You've got the $100 device, so you pay that one-time fee, and then would I pay $100 to have this service for, I don't know, a couple of years where I at least get to record 5, 1 hour shows each month that for whatever reason I can't get through my other on-demand services? I don't know. It might still be worth it to me.
On the Boxy site, I think they did an intelligent thing. They compare cable, TiVo, and Boxy DVR, saying you'll never run out of space. Unlike a TiVo where you buy the hardware and you have to pay something like $15 a month for guide data, or you pay a large lifetime fee for that. So I think if that's the way they position it, $100 doesn't seem that expensive, especially since the Boxy TV or the cloud DVR still has internet streaming services like Netflix. So you might not be recording absolutely everything because you're watching something like House of Cards on Netflix. So if they didn't just call it Cloud DVR, Cloud TV, DVR plus streaming, whatever it is, I don't know if the branding is going to cause an issue, but I think it's definitely a smart marketing thing, because when I saw this service, I thought it was cool, but at a $10 a month price, I was like, I don't know if I even want to look at this. $100, there's so many different set-top boxes at that price range.
Yeah, I think it's the branding, because it confused me. I wasn't thinking this was just a Boxy box. I thought this was a new product. I've Boxy boxes are wonderful, and this is creating sort of a hybrid cord cutter device, if you think about it. And that may make sense for some people, but let's make sure the branding is clear, that you're getting the equivalent of a Roku or one of those other boxes, plus this new potential service Yeah, maybe that's possible. Now, that's a good thing.
This isn't the boxy box, because that's, I think, discontinued. Oh. This is the boxy TV rebranded, which was a... You can see how clear it is, because they keep calling everything boxy. There we go.
It's like, it's almost like it's the company's name. Well, meanwhile, one of the things that makes boxy TV work is you can get over the air broadcast with a dongle, but maybe not for too much longer, huh, Sarah?
Yeah, yesterday we talked about how Chase Carey, who's the COO of News Corp, had said, listen, Fox is not afraid to change to a subscription model if we can't get paid for the TV content we produce. And this is in retaliation to the court decision that said Aereo, the internet TV company, can stream broadcast TV without paying retransmission fees. Well, you know, yesterday I said, Fox, you know, they're just mad. Univision and CBS are kind of getting on board as well. Les Moonves, which is the CBS CEO, told the New York Times he wholeheartedly supported what Chase said and that CBS has held talks with cable operators about taking its signal off the air. Of course, CBS is right now in litigation with some other networks, with Dish Network, over ad-skipping technology. So in general, CBS is like, listen, we need to get paid. Come on now. Let's put the brakes on all this alternative technology. Also said that New York and Connecticut is really the only issue right now, because that's Aereo only operates in New York. Although Aereo says we plan to expand to other markets as soon as possible. So it's kind of like, well, wherever Aereo is offered is where we would go sub model only, although that sounds really complicated. Meanwhile, Univision is also threatening to pull their signal, although the company said in a statement that going cable only, meaning you got to pay if you want any of this content, would really have a big impact on its viewership, because Hispanics watch TV through an antenna at twice the rate of the average viewer, according to Univision. They released a statement that said so. So it's kind of like, well, if they really wanted to do this, then they, that, you know, could potentially really cut off a lot of their happy customers, I guess, happy non-paying customers. Meanwhile, Steve Pruitt, the chairman of the Fox Affiliate Board of Governors, told the AP he represents over 200 stations that are able to provide Fox content, and they are on board. They're on board with the threat to transition to pay TV if Aereo keeps reselling Fox's signal without paying for rights. That's the way that they sort of spin it. He says, this is what we can do. As a TV station, you can send out two signals. You can send one to cable and satellite companies and another one to those free airwaves people. Premium Fox programs for paying customers could go to the cable folks, and then the free-to-air broadcast could be lesser quality, maybe certain shows are blacked out, that sort of thing. So this really potentially, if Aereo continues to be able to operate and the networks are not simply crying wolf here, it could be potentially really messy for the way that many of us are consuming programming on networks. Ken, what do you think is the next step here?
I don't know. This is crazy. It's funny in a way, because what Aereo is doing is it's like, what was it, the analog loophole, where you could always play something and then pass it out through your microphone out jack and pull it back in and record it, so you could copy anything that you were listening to. Well, that's what Aereo is doing with free broadcast television. All right. So if these companies are getting frustrated by that, seeing a potential for losing money. All right, if you go subscription, Fox, are we going to not see advertising anymore? Because your whole model was originally built on being an over-the-air broadcaster so that everybody could get your signal and see everything on your channel for free, and you got paid because people were advertising on you. All right, if I'm going to pay $5 a month to get your channel, get rid of the ads. I don't think that's going to happen. I mean, it's not happening now. We're paying for cable and satellite, and these channels are carried on those. I'm assuming those channels are getting paid for doing that by the cable providers, but we're still seeing all the same ads that the broadcast over-the-air folks get. So technology outpacing the business models, and it's going to be interesting to see how this shakes out.
Tom, what do you think? I mean, when it's just Fox, that's one thing, but it was Fox and CBS and Univision, and who knows who's next? I mean, is this something that's going to influence how the lawmakers treat Aereo?
Yeah, I haven't changed my opinion since yesterday. This is all a gambit that in case they lose their court case to Aereo, which because they're doing this makes me think they are going to lose their court case to Aereo. They can go to Congress with a bunch of letters from angry customers afraid they're going to lose over the air and say, you need to pass legislation making something like Aereo illegal. It is interesting to me that the Fox local affiliates, now these are the ones that are owned by Fox, but there's about 200 of them, have said what they would do is they would keep an over-the-air channel, but it would have different programming than the one that you would get on cable. So if you're a cable subscriber, you would get the channel you have now. If you had an over-the-air version, you would still maybe get your local news and stuff, but you wouldn't get the same quality of programming. Sounds to me like they're talking about pulling primetime programming. That way they don't go afoul of their license with the FCC, which says if you want to broadcast over the air, you want to keep your broadcast license, you have to keep a public service element. So you just keep doing some local news and public affairs programs.
I wonder if this is yet another chink in the armor or step down the road towards a la carte cable, television services. Because if they do this, then, maybe there's my opportunity. I get satellite. I don't want Fox, so I don't want to pay for it. So, okay, take it off my channel lineup.
We can dream, can't we? As I said yesterday, Fox, CBS, CBS wants to do it. Univision wants to do it. Just go straight to the internet. Sell it straight to people. They'll actually buy it. All of them. Doesn't matter which one. Now, maybe CBS has got an older demo, but I bet even people would do that. Let's talk about the Consumerist magazine ranking EA the worst company in America for the second straight year based on your votes. This is the Consumerist March Tournament for Worst Company in America. EA beat Bank of America in the finals. On their way to the Final Four, by the way, they beat no less than AT&T, InBev, the makers of watery beer, and Facebook. So this was no small task for EA. They're the only one to repeat. Comcast, AIG, BP, Halliburton, the RIAA, and Countrywide, all previous champions, never repeated as champ. Of course, EA says, this is ridiculous. How are we more evil than companies that spill oil into the ocean? We understand last year Mass Effect 3, people didn't like the ending. We know SimCity had server issues. The EA COO, Peter Moore, actually took to a blog earlier this week knowing that they were going to win this and tried to make a defense saying, EA is the tallest tree, and the tallest tree catches the most wind. But it's because they're so successful that they get all this flack. The Consumerist asked this question. I want to ask this of you guys, too. When we live in an era marked by massive oil spills, faulty foreclosures by bad banks, and rampant consolidation in the airline and telecom industry, what does it say about EA's business practices that so many people have for the second year in a row come out to hand it the title of worst company in America? Ken, what do you think?
I think this says that everybody who's voting is online, and so it's in our brains. It's for those of us that would actually go there and vote. I think we're all hyper aware of the dumb things that they've been doing over the last year, and I guess that noise was the biggest noise. And especially, I wonder if there are a lot of gamers gaming the system there, wanting to get EA into that spot. No, they're not the worst company in America. They've just got a really bad high level PR problem right now.
I think that's what it's all about. It's perception. Ayaz, what do you think?
I think I agree with Ken. It seems like a self-selecting kind of poll. You have people going to the Consumerists, and so they're already kind of edgy about what companies are doing. You have online gaming being screwed up by EA, fairly recent to this poll, so it's pretty close in people's minds. Now, all the world problems with the banking industry and all that stuff, for some reason, does not get people fired up because it's kind of this ethereal thing. If you had a giant pop-up message showing up like this on your face saying, hey, by the way, something's not working, or hey, the ocean is polluted when you try to go online, maybe you start getting annoyed at these companies a little bit more. But EA, unfortunately, because you can't connect to the servers, you're getting to see this thing constantly. You're being reminded, hey, by the way, EA sucks all the time. So I think it's that reminder and that audience together putting this poll together. At 77% said EA was the worst company, 22% said Bank of America.
And granted, there is a little selection bias here. You guys are right. But Sarah, they beat Facebook and AT&T. No small potatoes there.
Yeah, well, people get really mad about, you know, game franchises that they love getting screwed up, right? I mean, this is all a little bit silly to me. EA is not the worst company in America. There's just no way that's true. But I understand that they have been a foul of public favor for a while now. So yeah, I think Ken really hit the nail on the head when he said, you know, these are internet polls, right? A lot of people who might have answered this question, you know, on the street or in various, you know, cities or towns, you know, might respond differently. It all kind of depends on what you spend a lot of your time and effort on.
Yeah, it's far from scientific, but I think it does point out that EA has a really bad perception problem. People continue to buy their games in large numbers, and in fact, that's one of the things. I mean, the guy Peter Moore said, some people don't like us because we allow gay and lesbian characters. And of course, everyone says that has nothing to do with why you're losing this poll. He said, people are, you know, Origin has got record revenues. It's like, great, so you're making a lot of money. But it is true, people buy EA games, and yet they hate EA. And I feel like EA is just a little tone deaf. They just don't understand why people don't like them. And they're arrogant enough to go like, well, we're still making money, so what do we care?
The games are not EA. In many cases, a lot of those games were games, or at least franchises, started by smaller development houses that EA just gobbled up. So they have their own followings independent of EA. So a game can be popular. A franchise can be popular. But that parent company that is just some ugly conglomerate that's making a lot of dumb moves can catch this kind of hatred.
Yeah, no, and SimCity and Mass Effect, actually both are perfect examples of that. Good point. Let's move on to the randomizer. We had a different randomizer chosen, but then right in the beginning of the show, Jason found this Google Street View Hyperlapse page from T. Hanlax?
Let's see here.
T. Hanlax?
Yeah, so here, I'll show the screen. So, yes, so T. Hanlax, they're kind of a lab that kind of explore creative uses of technology, they say, in the digital area. And actually, I have to first give credit to Ken from Chicago, who kind of pointed this out to me on Twitter, and I believe in the chat room. But basically, what they've done here is they've taken Google Street View footage and kind of animated it with camera movements to give you this really cool kind of sweeping effect. And supposedly this is entirely open source, so you can actually create these for yourself. And it's just kind of a cool kind of animated version of what you have on Street View. And it just kind of shows you kind of how awesome our planet Earth is in a really fast motion kind of play through it.
Yeah, that's really beautiful. It's kind of fun to tool around. I always like doing that anyway. I use Google Street View a lot when I'm going to a place for the first time to kind of get an idea of what the landmarks are around, so I know I'm in the right place when I get there. Mm-hmm. And I like driving. I like driving around in neighborhoods like that. So this is pretty awesome.
And there's a tool. You can create them yourself. I'm trying to use it right now. It does say the site requires WebGL and is best viewed in Google Chrome on a decent machine. So apparently my machine is not handling it too well. Or they're being hit really hard right now.
Yeah, probably so.
But there's a lot of cool camera movements with this. I know I've seen a bunch of this kind of video on Vimeo where people do go through the effort of taking screen grabs and then stitching all this together, which is a real pain. So yeah, Looking at this and seeing those swooping camera movements, if you listen to the audio, you should definitely check out the video of this. It's an intriguing idea.
It's like on their own, yeah, all of these would be great desktop wallpapers. They're just all together.
I love it, though.
I want to set up an animated desktop wallpaper and then just set it to go from San Francisco to New York during my day.
And then you feel like you've covered a lot of ground.
Yeah, yeah. I've been working hard. I've been traveling all day.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. It's noon. I'm in Kansas. It must be time for lunch.
Yeah.
Let's see what's on the calendar, shall we, Sarah?
SimCity fans who also like Macs, listen up. SimCity for Mac is available starting on June 11th, so about 2 months from today.
So even if you hate EA, you can still buy SimCity for your Mac.
That's right. EA, all of a sudden, maybe not the worst company in the world.
I don't have
US
to play it in Parallels anymore. I can do it native. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, let's see what's incoming.
Incoming message.
We got a message from Alan. He says, I'm one of those people who still uses the disc plan on Netflix. You know, the side of the business where all the profits are made. Wouldn't it be great if there was an exclusive period where the DVD version of House of Cards was only available to Netflix disc renters, much like the streaming version is only available to Netflix streaming subscribers?
This made me laugh. Sour grapes from Alan. He's one of the people out there who's still loyal to the DVD Netflix service. And a year ago, it was true that they were making all their money off DVD, but that's less and less true with every earnings report. I went and looked.
Well, the other thing is, House of Cards will be on DVD. It's going to show up with everybody else. It'd be interesting to see Netflix do this, considering how the other studios kind of bat them around like a mouse when it comes to, you wait 28 days, you wait 56 days before the DVD comes to you. So if they turned it around, it'd be really intriguing what they would do to their competitors.
Yeah, I don't think they can, though, because I think it's the House of Cards production house that's putting out the DVD, not Netflix.
There you go.
All right, that's it for this episode of Tech News Today. Ken Denmead, geekdad.com. Thank you so much for joining us, man.
It's always a blast. Thanks so much. Want to say, really cool, we'd found out last night, and I want to thank, it was Rusty Blaznoff from Laughing Squid who tweeted it, and I saw it first, that both geekdad.com and geekmom.com, our companion sites, have been nominated for Webby Awards in the parenting and family category. So if you're if you feel like voting, please go vote for one of our sites. I don't even care which one you vote for. Just, you know, if one of us wins, we all win.
Yeah, vote for Ken. Look at that face. How could you not vote for Geek Dad and Geek Mom?
If you're listening, listen to that voice. How could you not?
Oh, yeah, vote for us.
All right, guys, check it out. Geekdad.com is the address. You can also go to our subreddit if you'd like to have an effect on what stories we talk about each day. TechNewsToday.reddit.com is the place to go to do that. Almost 15,000 people in there. So make your voice one of them.
I'm seeing 15,005.
15,005. Yeah. You could be 15,006 if you join right now. TechNewsToday.reddit.com. You can also find us on the web at twit.tv/TNT. Email us, TNT@twit.tv, or give us a call. Leave us a voicemail, 260-TNT-SHOW. We'll be back with Lindsay Turrentine from CNET.com tomorrow. We'll see you then.